תפילת החברים.
The prayer of the friends. Dear Creator, bring our friends to the right prayer.
תן לנו את הכוח.
Give us the strength
להכיר,
to recognize the evil in our desires
ולבחור,
and to choose the good.
הלוואי
שכל May all our efforts
יהיו,
be to give you contentment.
נחת.
Amen.
Amen.
Loudly and clearly. Again, the article is Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, item 13.
Ve'im omnam נמצאים בית חלקים בתורה.
If indeed there are two parts in the Torah, one, mitzvot between man and the Creator, two, mitzvot between man and man, both aim for the same thing.
דהיינו,
to bring the creature to the final purpose of dvekut, adhesion with Him, the Creator. Furthermore, even the practical side in both of them is really one and the same. For when one performs an act lishma for her sake, without any mixture of self-love, meaning without drawing any benefit for oneself, then one does not feel any difference whether one is working to love one's friend or to love the Creator.
Bein im oved le'ahavat hamakom itbarach. משום שחוק טבעי,
this is so because it is a natural law for any being that anything outside one's own body is regarded as unreal and empty.
ובלתי מציאות לגמרי. וכל תנועה,
and any movement that a person makes to love another is performed with a reflected light and some reward that will eventually return to him and serve him for his own benefit. Thus, such an act cannot be considered love of others because it is judged by its end. It is like rent that pays off only in the end. However, the act of renting is not considered love of others. But making any movement only as a result of love of others without any spark of reflected light or hope for any kind of reward in return is completely impossible by nature. It is written in the Zohar about this with regard to the nations of the world. Every chesed, mercy, that they do for themselves. This means that all the good that they do, either toward their friends or toward their God, is not for their love of others, but for self-love. since this matter is completely unnatural. Therefore, only those who observe Torah and mitzvot, commandments, are capable of this, since by accustoming themselves to observe Torah and mitzvot, commandments, in order to bring contentment to their Maker, they gradually depart from the bosom of the natural creation and acquire a second nature, being the above-mentioned love of others. This is what brought the sages of the Zohar to exclude the nations of the world from love of others, when they said, every chesed, mercy, that they do for themselves, for they are not involved in observing Torah and commandments, lishma, for her sake, and the only reason they serve their gods is for reward and salvation in this world and in the next. Thus, their worship of their gods is because of self-love, and they will never perform an act that is outside the boundaries of their own bodies, for which they will be able to lift themselves even as a hair's breadth above their basic nature.
Yes, Oren.
He begins Argum 13, saying that there are two parts in the Torah, commandments between man and the Creator, and commandments between man and man. What are commandments between man and the Creator?
No, זה כלפי הבורא.
Well, that's with respect to the Creator. What we understand that we have to do in order to get closer to Him, bring Him contentment, and carry out His will.
This is the in order to get closer to Him. But what are the commandments we do in order to get closer to Him, which are called commandments between man and the Creator, which are different from the commandments between man and man? So what is the difference in the commandments?
For whom am I doing? To whom am I directed? Towards the created beings or the Creator?
No.
So, commandments between man and the Creator, and commandments between man and the Creator. And then in the next paragraph, this is because they both aim for the same thing, to bring the created being for the final goal of adhesion with Him. So right. I don't understand what are those two parts that are aimed to bring me to adhesion with the Creator. Commandments between man and the friend in order to bring me to adhesion with the Creator. I understand it's all the work we learn to do between us, between the friends, in order to achieve adhesion with the Creator. This I understand. What I don't understand is what are the commandments between a person and the Creator.
That
all you do is to bring contentment to the Creator. Meaning, these mitzvot that you do for the friends, too, you're doing that to bring contentment to the Creator. And that's it.
Tishal.
Keep asking.
There are two different kinds of commandments. One is between a person and his friend, and two is between a person and the Creator.
Yes.
What is the commandment between a person and the friend?
That I have to bring the friend closer or get closer to him until we become as one man with one heart.
Why? With what intention?
to rise above our ego and connect above the general ego.
And adhere to the Creator, become similar to the Creator?
And that's the step to get to cling to the Creator.
So everything we said now is the commandments between a person and a person to adhere to the Creator.
Yes.
Now there's another thing, commandments between a person and the Creator. What is that?
To adhere to the Creator. In that we... to adhere to the Creator and discover that the whole purpose of creation is to return to Him to full adhesion.
אז מה עושים בשביל זה? מה הפעולה?
So what do we do for this? What is the action?
That we are all already bonded with each other as one man with one heart. We are together making an effort to adhere to the Creator Himself.
So these are two actions on the same axis. I act toward the friends in order to adhere together with them, with the Creator. So the first part is called between the friend and the friend, and then the second is between the person and the Creator.
Yes, but ultimately the intention is the same. It is one, to achieve adhesion between us and with the Creator. No questions? Okay, it's difficult to ask about it, difficult to discuss this because it's a very unique thing. Let's read and see a few more words there that can help us discuss it. Yes.
From
Latin 13, how do we stop working without reward and punishment and just working unconditionally for Him?
Reward and punishment don't stop. We can't ignore them until we receive a unique correction, where we replace the corporeal reward and punishment, which is egoistic, to spiritual reward and punishment, where only doing good to others is our reward. And from there, we make an even another step forward, which is doing good to the Creator. And that's the reward. But without reward, we can't work. I have to...
From Kabu 12,
what does it mean in the excerpts we read now, that it's empty and completely unreal?
What is this about?
Because it is a natural law for any being that anything outside one's own body is completely empty and unreal.
Mm-hmm. So we have to reach through our efforts and exercises to a state where everything we do, we feel that if we do it for the sake of others, then we fulfill the others. And in that we feel that we are fulfilling our own vessels, that we are so incorporated with the others, that fulfilling the others or fulfilling yourself is the same. And from there we already later come to the Creator. So it's impossible to have love of the Creator before love of others. After I feel that I fulfill the others, then I can already arrive at fulfilling the Creator, but otherwise I have no contact with Him.
Right.
There's a scrutiny concerning the rent. Therefore, such actions cannot be called love of others because they are judged by their end, like rent that is paid off only in the end. Nevertheless, the renting is not regarded as love of others. So what is renting?
That by the actions between us, we learn how it's possible to begin discovering and feeling and getting closer to the Creator and bringing contentment from working between us. Therefore, all these actions between us, they're like rent. They're like a preparation to bestow to the Creator.
From women, PT 33, they said, you said we have to awaken the recognition of evil because it helps us move forward. How do we awaken the recognition of evil correctly in the 10?
That I check myself, how truly do I relate to each and every friend in the 10 as close, and I try to maintain an equal relation to all of them.
What?
From Belarus, why is there a need to love the other in order to love the Creator?
That's the first stage, to come out of oneself. So that we can inspect and see and feel how we are exiting ourselves towards the others or not. I have to be certain here that I prefer the others over myself. And that's how we come closer to truly loving the others. And then these others, we expand this concept all the way to the Creator. And as we get closer to that, both towards the friends and towards the Creator, we need to reach a state where we don't feel a difference between loving ourselves and loving the friends. Loving the friends and loving the Creator, it all becomes one.
Ken?
Zero, toda.
That's it. Thank you.
Bakasha. Ken?
Please.
Is there such a commandment which is only between a person and the Creator that does not contain or include a friend anywhere in it?
All of the mitzvot that we discover towards the Creator necessarily go through the friend.
Tout
Thank you very much, Rav. A commandment between man and the friend. I have to bring the friend closer and move toward the friend. In our work in the Tanya, if I see something in the friend, I know that it's in me, and I ask for correction for it. I draw the reforming light. He says that here this action is in the end for myself. There is no action here, no commandment toward the friend. Why?
When you do something for the sake of the friend, then you think that you're doing it for him. And you don't imagine or feel that you're actually together in a single body. And your will to receive only separates between the two of you in order to give you an opportunity to correct yourself so that there's really no two different, no two here, but just one. There's one body of Adam HaRishon that we are all belong to, and we are completely incorporated with it. And so what we have to understand bit by bit is that we're coming closer to a state where to me, the others and me become
Rav, how do we come to the general necessity for correction? That why is a method of correction?
The general urgency for correction we begin to feel after we are immersed in the work in a serious way together. And then between us, we begin to feel this field of desire to connect between us and connect, get closer to the Creator and so forth.
Because those who succeeded in correcting themselves are only a chosen few who really came to feel to such a complete deficiency so as to truly emerge from their nature. But here, in the first stage of receiving the Torah, there was thin coarseness. On the occasion of the reception of the Torah, the coarseness was not as it is today, so they succeeded in uniting and came to this necessity, and they received the Torah. But it's a prolonged process, and here, it's a continuing process, so I'm asking, how can a person want to be corrected, or that here will be your burial place? You understand this situation? Either I'm dead, or I receive the Torah. It's like we all have to put ourselves to death in our feelings, and that necessity has to be together.
אני לא יודע מה לענות לך.
I don't know what to answer you. Because
אדם צריך להרגיש את עצמו.
Clearly, a person has to feel in himself that if he doesn't attain the truth, then he's dead. But the question is, what does it mean for him to be dead or alive? We still don't truly feel these 2 degrees so well. And we're not so afraid about that and care about that. So we'll see.
יש לאדם עוד שבוע ימים.
We have another week where we're gonna try to reach a feeling and an understanding that is deeper.
I'll tell you because it's the same question that Yochai asked. It shocked me because we'll all come to a state. Each of us was given a certain amount of time, a quota of time to achieve this.
Yes.
How do we not waste these moments?
If you incorporate with the friends and you want to help them and be with them, then time is not really pressuring you and scaring you because you're with them and in them. So first we have to be so interconnected that we only think about the collective desire, the collective understanding and feeling, and that's what's important to us. Can you read again?
Shuv ot yudalid.
Again, item 14. Thus, we clearly see that toward those who observe Torah and Mitzvot Lishma, there is no difference between the two parts of the Torah, even on the practical side. This is because before one accomplishes it, one is compelled to feel any act of bestowal, either toward another person or toward the Creator, as emptiness beyond conception. But through great effort, one slowly rises and attains a second nature. And then one attains the final goal, which is Dvikut with Him. Since this is so, it is reasonable to think that the part of the Torah that deals with man's relationship with his friend is better capable of bringing one to the desired goal, since the work in mitzvot between man and God is fixed and specific and is not demanding. And one becomes easily accustomed to it. And everything that is done out of habit is no longer useful. But the mitzvot between man and man are changing and irregular and demands surround him wherever he turns. Hence, their cure is much more certain and their aim is closer.
Kotev she, he writes that in the work between man and the Creator, there's habit, and between man and his friend, it's not fixed. Now, there's a feeling in the ten many times that the actions we do between us already become a kind of a habit. So how do we create between the friends a constant renewal so that it doesn't become habit?
If you don't completely change, then there are no changes. But if you do change, and you're changing every time, then there are constant changes between you and the relationships between you. And if you want to come closer to each other and be a little more as one man with one heart, then your work is constantly work in constant changes, and it teaches you about all the manners of connection that exist between you. Therefore, precisely through such work between the friends, you come to advance toward connection with the Creator.
Externally, should we always make changes or not necessary?
No. You yourselves feel that you are changing all the time, and that will compel you to make changes in the connection between you two.
Okay, toda.
Okay, thank you.
If, however, there are no changes between you, and you don't feel that you are in this dynamic, you don't have this dynamic of changes between you, then it's a problem. Because then how will you advance? How will you constantly establish changes of connection between you more and more?
He once said that many times that even if the state seems constant and the same, there's always changes. So maybe sometimes even if we don't see changes, there are changes.
But it's all from the perspective of the person. If there is something out there somewhere out of nowhere, we have to detect between us constant changes and try on top of these changes to constantly establish good new relationships, to tie ourselves up together.
If we don't feel a change, it should bother, it should be concerning to us.
Yes, of course. Look, if there weren't changes in the people of Israel, then what would you write in the Torah? What would they convey? How would they advance?
I wanted to maybe ask help in clarifying the issue of habit and as opposed to working with changes. I think I heard from you in the past that in the habit itself there is pleasure. So is it this issue that there's a concern that if I work out of habit, then I'm basically trying to draw pleasures into myself?
If the habit is pleasurable and you're drawing the habit, then you are drawing a pleasure.
Yeah, that's exactly the question. So if we feel there is habit in the work, we should be concerned that the work might be not clear.
Yes, Moshe.
He writes here that a person bestows either to others or to the Creator, then he feels emptiness. He doesn't feel taste in that. And then by great effort, he comes to adhesion, to the second nature. So a person who does achieve adhesion feels taste. What's the connection between adhesion and taste? Can you reach adhesion without having a taste? Why does there have to be a connection?
When a person is in adhesion with another person, then everything he feels what is in the other and what is in him. And out of those two feelings, he feels the Creator. He already feels something of the Creator. And the more he broadens, expands his connections with the environment, then the sensation of the Creator in the connection between them is stronger, becomes stronger, and more becomes more solid. This is all of our work, all our advancement.
He writes any action to his, towards the others feels empty, without any flavor.
If it's just an act for one for another, then yes. But if it's an act for another in order to approach the Creator, then he already feels these actions as spiritual actions.
To be in adhesion, a person needs to feel taste in that action of bestowal, or there's no connection. Or you can be in adhesion and not feel taste in action of bestowal.
In order to be in adhesion, a person needs to feel the friends, to feel the Creator, feel the connection between them, and to know by what he maintains the connection.
That's clear. I'm asking about the emptiness and the taste. Can you be in adhesion and still feel emptiness, like he writes here? Or there has to be taste.
Is it possible to be in adhesion and feel emptiness?
Like he writes here, that action towards the others, that brings you emptiness, that feels empty, like he writes.
No. If he feels in adhesion, that's impossible.
Impossible. So he has to feel taste.
Yes.
The pleasure in that action.
Yes. Adhesion has to give him the taste.
So the taste is a measurement.
Yes.
Kashe ayom.
It's difficult today. These things we learned, we didn't learn, we fall between them. We want to scrutinize but still can't. It's good.
That's tough.
Whether it's others or the Creator, it is felt as empty and tasteless. So, is it two, one and the same, these two parts?
He doesn't feel a difference. That's what he's telling you. If you give to the Creator or you give to another, from bestowal you get yes?
This state that we're trying to scrutinize, it's impossible to ignore the fact that all the actions we do feel as empty, just like he writes. He writes that these actions of mitzvot that we do in the degree of between man and his friend and man towards the Creator, we exert and we ultimately feel emptiness.
Yes.
But he gives hope here. He says, by great effort, he gradually rises to second nature. Meaning that until I complete this matter of great effort towards love of others, then I don't have the second nature. What's the great effort?
That you're trying to find pleasure in giving.
To whom?
To the friend, and then to the Creator.
So the exertion towards the friend, I have to feel pleasure in that.
Yes. Why not?
But then it will ultimately be for myself. If I do it to feel pleasure, I do it for myself and not for the friend.
Again, I didn't understand.
If I love my friends, and with respect to my love of friends and serving them, I feel pleasure,
yes,
then the action I do for them is to feel pleasure, because that's my fulfillment, the pleasure.
Yes.
So I still do it. In order to move to the next stage, I have to complete this action of really doing for them, for the benefit of love of friends.
Yes.
But if the result of all these actions is to bring me pleasure, then I stay in the same place.
Correct. Correct.
So what to do? How to feel this great labor?
It's exactly about this that the great labor comes, that we want to come to a state where how we relate to the friends will be not through our egoistic desire, but through the desire to bestow.
How will I, and all my egoistic desire, it's the only thing that ever drives me.
That's what he's explaining to you.
So that's really what we should ask for, only for my egoistic desire to be nullified.
Of course. Nothing. I see that the topic is quite vague and not so understood and not so exciting. Doesn't give you a lot of joy. It's really felt. Yes, Shai.
It is inspiring and relevant. It's just hard to ask because it's slippery.
So you should ask some more, even more.
I say want to connect to Ilan because I'm told that in the action of caring for Ilan, I come out of myself and I'll benefit from that.
No.
Well, so
instead of being immersed in self-love, where we feel there is no more any taste in that, so the advice is try to connect to Elon, connect to the 10, you'll get a greater pleasure there.
Yes.
So it's a kind of mitzvah between man and his friend. I connect in order to come out of myself.
Yes.
Now, is that as one man and with one heart? Where is the Torah here?
No, it's completely not. Because here you have an egoistic goal only. I want to connect with Ilan because there I will find greater pleasures. So, this is like going to make a profit with him in some business.
So what are the mitzvot between man and his friend that are not transactional and business-like?
That you help a friend in order to help him reach his goal.
But why? Why will I do that?
Because by this you become similar to the Creator. You come closer to Him. You rise above the human level.
Okay, so this action is between man and his friend?
Yes.
So where is now the issue that the Creator enters the picture in relation to, in the context of Shavuot, that He comes and gives us the Torah? So between us it's somehow clear, but when you involve the mitzvot between man and the place, the Creator, that becomes less...
Yes, Bore, Yes, Nivra.
There is a creator and there is a created being. In order to bring the created being to the level of the creator, and for it to feel that it is reaching the degree of the creator, the creator created it in the opposite way from itself, from himself, and gave it, the created being, an opportunity to change, a chance to change its nature, change his behavior, everything, to acquire new vessels, different vessels, in order to be like the Creator, to raise the created being to the level of the Creator. What happens next? In order to bring a person to that level, we have to start, first of all, lifting him, pulling him out of the nature that he's in, which is the evil inclination. When a person wants only to respond to anything he sees and feels in his reality, that he is only searching how to benefit himself every single moment. And this is how he lives. And by this, he becomes more and more solid. Meaning, from day to day, he becomes more egoistic, worse, more solid in his own ego. Until he begins to feel that by this, he, each day, instead of profiting, which he thought he would before, he's losing. And his nature, specifically his egoistic nature, is what disrupts him. What should he do? He can't get out of that nature. So the Creator brings him a method. You can change your nature from the nature of reception to the nature of bestowal. And the nature of bestowal is where I live, where I am. Do you want to be like me? By all means. So there's a matter of, instead of hating others, you need to love others. And this will gradually bring you closeness to others, connection with others. And then instead of hatred, there will be love. This is basically what we try to understand and somehow do.
So,
thus far, is it clear? Yes, David?
So, in my effort to love someone outside of me, that effort will bring him to be closer to me, and then I'll feel that I love this action of bestowing to him, and I get pleasure from it because he's already a part of me.
No, no.
So is that the part that we're talking about, that love of others doesn't really exist for me? I'll feel, taste in that, enjoy in that, only if I feel that the friend is a part of me. So our effort, when we make the effort, the friend is not a part of me yet. And then there's no pleasure in that. And the pleasure begins only when I feel that he's a part of me.
Yes.
This action is the mitzvot between man and his friend, that he connect to the friend and they become one.
It connects between them, but what's the goal?
That's a question, but if I am able to do this action, did I not already use the right intention? How could I even reach a connection with the friend, this feeling that he's a part of me, if I haven't use the intention that I want to reach the Creator? Because a person has no strength to do this action unless he has a goal to bring contentment to the Creator or somehow become equal to the Creator. So on his own, he can't do this action of loving the friend without an additional cause. So I understand that in coming to the feeling of being one with the friend, it already contains the goal and the aim, because otherwise I wouldn't reach it.
Yes.
So again, this state we come to when we feel that we are one with the friend. This is the mitzvot between man and man?
Yes.
ואני רוצה לגרום לאדם.
I want to do good to a person according to the Creator's will. According to the Creator's will. And this is called loving Him.
And Balsam writes in a different place, when a person completes loving others at the final point, he already reached the level of love of the Creator, if I understand correctly.
Yes.
So I raise the question again. So between, what are the mitzvot between man and the Creator? Because in completing that state of loving others, love of friends, there's no other action there, or there is. What are the mitzvot between man and the Creator that also have to take place?
I come to commandments between a person and his friend, and out of this I come to commandments between a person and the Creator. Yes.
So if I've reached a state of one man with one heart with a friend or with a ten, now what does it mean that I also have the mitzvot between man and the Creator now?
So now we can all unite, so much so that we will raise the Creator above ourselves. That's it.
And it's because we also say from love of the created beings to love of the Creator.
Yes.
So it turns out that we try to understand what it means between man and the Creator, but it's just irrelevant to us. We first have to connect. And only as the ten or the others are together, we can understand what is the mitzvot between man and the Creator. Until then, there's nothing to talk about.
Yes.
This is the state of when we connect as one man with one heart, we begin to receive the Torah and work with the Creator.
Yes.
I want to ask about the taste in the work between man and his friend. If a person is in the group, I'm talking about a state before the barrier, a person is egoistic. People enjoy disseminating, people enjoy studying, other people enjoy doing actions of giving to the group. The question, and that taste, of course, is an egoistic fuel. is it worthwhile to look for actions where I don't feel any taste? And then it could be close, because that taste essentially doesn't let me advance, because it's egoistic.
And how do you depict yourself a situation where you do advance?
Like he writes here that I feel emptiness.
And then what?
And then I still make an effort, and then at least I'm not bribed. And then the creator's help, I guess. Because if there is fuel, clearly my ego is involved. And so my question is it worthwhile to look for, like, for instance, I like studying. So another person likes, really dislikes doing actions of giving. Or just to flow with what I like.
No, if you go only with what you like, you'll never get out of it. You still have to try to become similar to the Creator each time, and this is by getting closer to the friends. So each and every day, you will have a specific goal to come closer and closer to the friends.
So to look for actions where I feel no taste?
No, not with or without taste, but with connection, to increase the connection between you.
Yeah, but this is a general term. In connection, there are many, many actions, some of which there is contained, give you a taste, and others don't. So should I look for actions where there is, where I find taste, or where I don't?
I would say both.
Because it's impossible without any taste.
Of course.
You have to live from something.
Mm-hmm. In our situation, that's still the way it is.
No.
Yes. Well,
to make Mushi's question even more precise, in actions that we're doing, we should look for what brings the friend joy, what brings the friend tastes, a sense of taste?
No. The friend might feel flavors in all kinds of forms that are inappropriate.
No, the scrutiny is to look for the actions done towards the friend that hinder him from moving towards our common goal. Now, not to satisfy his egoistic needs, but his egoistic needs towards the goal.
Yes.
So I'm not looking for my pleasure, I'm looking for pleasure of the friends in actions towards them.
Yes, that's what Rabash writes in his articles.
Rav, what to do in a state where some of the friends feel the topic is vague and uninspiring and so forth?
It is natural, and we also see it in the reception of the Torah. That there are those who were running to receive the Torah, and those who stood from afar. And they also change places. One day I'm like this, another day I'm like that. And it's good and it's correct. This is how the vessel becomes incorporated. It happens to each and everyone.
So how to awaken each other in such a state? Those who are running forward towards the reception of the Torah, how can they attract those who are on the sidelines and vice versa?
We have mutual responsibility, we have activities toward adhesion, we have all kinds of exercises that we have to do. We mustn't neglect this.
So what can we do, for instance?
do all kinds of exercises where you awaken the friends to be obligated to connect to others. And in this way, everyone will participate. Everyone will participate. There's no choice. I too feel on myself, besides my regular problems. Yes? And all of that is for the best. Next.
Yes, hi.
Rav, you've told us that you would come to the gathering in the beginning of your path and you would see a sink full of dishes and the friends that would sit together every night. Can you explain from your impression what it means?
No, I wasn't with them. Rabash told me, don't go. Don't go. There were old men sitting there. And they only did it as a habit, because they had to. Not because at the end of the day they had something to summarize the day with.
Rabash would sit. Yes, I actually wanted to ask on that as well. What do we in the society want to show the friends? Because there is a matter of lo lishma and a matter of lishma. Do we want to highlight to one another that to bestow it gives pleasure and we want to awaken this thing? Or the opposite, that the real true pleasure we're looking for to bestow is without pleasure? And so on. A little confused what to project, portray to the friends so that they can come closer.
I think that the main thing that we can show them is actions of bestowal from each one to the others, because intentions, we can't convey it to them and to open it to them, to reveal to them, but the actions you can. This is what you need.
The challenge that we are able to portray are external only.
So what?
It can disconnect.
Why disconnect? When I see that my friend bestows really...
Lama.
Why?
No.
No?
Meaning I can do actions to show that I annul to the friends even though I am not in line with them?
Even though you don't annul.
And it helps even though inside I'm really not.
It helps. It certainly helps. Because our external actions, even though they're false, the friend receives them as true ones, and this awakens him, and he does the same. And this is how it goes from one to another. This is the meaning of the verse. Each should help his friend.
Okay, thank you. And if I may ask another question about raising the Creator above us. What isn't clear is if we are already connecting and then we're required to raise the Creator above us, then what is that in that initial connection that is different? Well, let me ask it this way. What is the difference between raising the Creator above us and connecting between us? Is it clear? I guess not.
raising the Creator above us and connecting between us well.
It sounds like there are two stages. The first, that we need to connect all the friends inside of me into some single unit, some commando unit. And in the second stage, we have to break through the gate.
Okay, suppose.
Let's say, I don't know how to express it, but...
keep on saying.
So the question, what is that second stage that is different from the first stage? In what?
In the first stage, you connect. In the second stage, you do something.
So what is the practice? What is the action?
In connection. That you want to break the boundary between you and the Creator.
But the Creator doesn't need that. We need that.
That's something else. So what?
Why do we need another action to connect even more?
But what are you doing in the connection? Say you connected, so?
This is the thing. To call a connection of a 10 is a mutual bestowal without a reward for one another, that the quality of the Creator rules over the friends, that there is some flow.
So,
where is the addition? Because that's already the Creator.
But it's still not an action. You've connected. What's next?
So the question is this. What is an action?
When you now discover the Creator in the center of your action and you bestow contentment to Him,
how do we bestow to Him contentment above us connecting?
Connecting, that you did between yourselves, but bestowing contentment to the Creator is something else. It's already to connect to Him, it's to take Him into your system and to perform a zivug, a coupling over His vessels, in order to fill Him with all your desire.
Good morning, dear Rav. Dosta yapılan hizmet ile yaratana yapılan hizmet arasındaki geçiş hattı nedir?
Good morning, Rav. What is the point of transition from serving the friends to serving the Creator?
Neşaret de haberim.
Serving the friends.
Osle pula atsmit.
Is when I do an action on my own. Serving the Creator means I have to do a...
Caro Rav, se in cambio dell'amore per gli altri otteniamo in risposta del male, dobbiamo credere che...
If in exchange for love of others,
per insegnarci ad amare...
Do we need to believe that the Creator is giving us an answer to teach us how to love without any reward?
Of course, everything we feel from the Creator. From the Creator. Although these may be clothes, it can be clothed in the friends in all kinds of manners. However, it truly comes from the Creator, meaning the Creator wants us to feel this way, understand this way.
È nel vuoto dell'amore senza sapore che impariamo a riconoscere la luce della Torah.
So if out of the sensation of emptiness we feel in love of others, out of that we'll learn how to receive the Torah?
Yes, bit by bit.
Woman Europe.
Buenas noches, Rab. Buenas noches, amigos. Sí, la pregunta es la siguiente. Si detrás de cada amigo está el Creador, ¿qué cambiamos?
If behind every friend there is a Creator, what do we need to change to come closer to the Creator? Is it the light of the Torah that changes us?
To the extent that we come closer to our friends, we come closer to the Creator, which is behind them. Because the Creator Himself is something we can't identify. But in the form of the friends, as they are presented through Him, we can come closer to the
אנחנו קוראים בכתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 176.
We are reading in the writings of Baal HaSulam, preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, item 54. Item 54. Hence, the screen of the Partsuf descends to the place of the Chazeh, of the first Partsuf, where it elicits 10 Sefirot of the Rosh,
Mimeno ulemala,
from it and above it, through a coupling by striking with the upper light, up to the pay of the upper one, which is the malchut of the rosh of the first partsuf. But the lower one cannot clothe the ten sefirot of the rosh of the upper partsuf at all, since it considered merely the screen of the goof of the upper one. Subsequently, it elicits 10 sefirot from above downward, called the 10 sefirot of the guf, at the toch and the sof of the lower one. And their place is only from the chazeh of the upper partsuf down to its tabor, since from the tabor down is the place of the 10 sefirot of the siyum of the upper one, which is phase 4. The lower one has no grip of the last phase of the upper one, since it loses it during its refinement. For this reason, that lower partsuf called partsuf chokhmah of Ak, or partsuf ab of Ak, must end above the tabor of the first partsuf of Ak.
ונתבאר היטב שכל ראש תוך סוף.
Thus, it has been thoroughly clarified that any Rosh, Toch, Sof of Partsuf, Ab of Ak, which is the lower one of the Partsuf of Ak, stand from the place below the pay of the first Partsuf down to its tabor. Thus, the chazeh of the first partsuf is the place of the pay of the rosh of partsuf ab, meaning the coupling malchut and the tabur of the first partsuf is the place of the siyum raglin of partsuf ab, that is the ending malchut.
No questions about the text itself. Yes, Owen?
The connection between the lower partsuf to the upper partsuf is of the chazeh of the upper?
Who are you asking about?
Here, in the cascading of the partsufim, from the chazeh of the upper partsuf.
Yes,
I'm asking about the chazeh of the upper partsuf.
So I'm talking about the chazé of the upper. There, the lower is connected through the point of the chazé of the upper.
Yes.
What is that point, essentially?
It's the connection it has with the upper one. It's one of the connections. However, from there, he receives nourishment. There ends the gar of the upper parzuf, and from there on, the lower one continues. We have chazé of Gelgalta. From the chazé of Gelgalta and below, the parzuf Ab extends. From chazé until pe is Rosh of Ab, and from chazé below is the goof of the Ab. So what are you asking?
The connection through the chazé.
Yes.
What does it come to teach?
That there are forces there in the Partsuf of Gelgalta that Ab receives them and develops from Chazé above and from Chazé below.
Rav, tagil, Malchut. Malchut de...
Rav, tell me please, Malchut of Chazé has a mutual point between Malchut of Rosh and Malchut of Guf? It's a mutual point because, I'll explain why, the refinement of its Masach of Rosh, from above downwards, it's gradual. And the refinement of the Masach of the Guf is shorish from above downwards. Sorry, from below to upwards.
Malchut is always one. From the beginning of creation till its end.
So why do we speak of the three Malchuts, Malchuts of Siyu, Malchut of Tabor?
That's how it's divided in order to execute it, its actions.
And what is the central point of Malchut?
Malchut.
Of Malchut? In Pe de Rosh?
Okay, thank you.
רציתי להבין את העיקרון. הוא אומר שהתחתון יכול לא להתלבש על
הראש. I want to understand the principle. He said that the lower doesn't clothe on the rosh of the upper and on the sea it's seum because it was refined.
Yes.
So I wanted to understand this is happening of Ab towards Gelgalta, and in the rest of the parts of Fim it will also happen. They will not be able to grasp onto the Rosh.
Right.
So why are they sitting? They are sitting on the Tabur of Gelgalta and not on the Tabur of Ab, for example, the next Partsuf.
Hold on. All the rest of the Partsufim are measured with respect to Tabur of Gelgalta.
And refined four, and then Partsuf of Ab cannot grab the... So Ab will do the same thing. It will be refined, and Sag will not be able to grasp onto it. So why is it sitting on Gelgalta and not on the Tabur of Ab?
Because Tabur of Gelgalta is a very special point where the upper light cannot come below it.
Well,
I'd like to ask in general. Gelgalta is the complete Partsuf, gets all the light, refined
from end to end.
We see that when the light departs, it makes the vessel more refined. If we think about the general kli, what's the benefit of a smaller Partsuf being born with a smaller light, only the light of Chokhmah? What's the profit for the vessel from smaller vessels being born?
Explain to me about your children.
I can't connect the two.
זה מסביר לנו מה תוכן הפרצוף.
Explains to us what is the contents of the parzuf, that something is birthed from it.
Something is smaller being birthed from him, not more sophisticated, not bigger than Galgalta. It's partial. It's as if they can take care of a small part.
Yes and no.
How does that improve Galgalta?
It improves Galgalta in that he shows what was within Galgalta and what is now birthed from it. And what is birthed continues to get closer to the final correction. And without being birthed, the previous partsuf, the fathers, would not be able to grow. Rather, only through... Okay, we'll continue.
Title, the second restriction... Tzimtzum Bet, called the restriction of Nehi Avak. Item 56. We have thoroughly explained the first restriction, Tzimtzum Aleph, carried out on the vessel of Malchut, which is phase 4, so it would not receive the upper light within it. We have also explained the matter of the screen and its coupling by striking with the upper light, which raises reflected light. This reflected light became new vessels of reception instead of phase 4. Also explained was the refinement of the screen of the guf, made in the gufim, the plural of guf, of each partzuf, by the clash of surrounding light and inner light, which produces the four discernments, te'amim, nekudot, tagino, tiyot, tanta, of the guf, of each partzuf, and raises the screen of the guf to be considered the screen of the rosh. It qualifies it for a coupling by striking with the upper light, on which another partzuf is born, 1 degree lower than the previous partzuf. Finally, we have explained the emergence of the three partzufim of Ak, called Galgalta, Ab, Sag, and the order of their clothing on one another.
Is that it?
About the point of connection between the upper partzuf and the lower partzuf through the chazeh and the pev, the lower one, the chazeh of the upper one. What does the upper one feel in the lower one, in the point of connection?
The upper one feels that the lower one is born according to how he births it. The upper births the lower, and how the lower functions, grows, and fills the upper.
It really feels in the lower one as if it's an additional organ that's born. It's another sense opens up to him.
Of course, the upper that births the lower feels that the lower fulfills it. Look at the mother and a child. And see how a child fulfills her. Not that she fulfills him, although she cares for him with her entire heart, with devotion. But in essence, what she feels is that he fulfills her.
And what does the lower one, the lesser partzuf, what does it feel from the upper one?
The lower partzuf feels that the upper gives birth to him, provides everything to him, fulfills him, cares for him, does everything. That it is the upper in nature.
But so he has this notion. There's the upper one that gave birth to him, but in action?
No, it doesn't have to be like that. Instinctively, he feels that he belongs to the upper, and the upper has to provide for him.
Throughout the life of the lower Patsuf, it feels a connection with the upper one, that it gives him something?
Certainly the upper gives, otherwise where does he receive from?
The coupling that the lower one does, isn't it with respect or against the upper light? The direct light of Ab.
Yes.
This direct light comes from Galgalta, or does it come
through Galgalta? Of course. And Galgalta does striking coupling through the light of Ein Sof and passes Ein Sof as its own light that passes through her to Ab.
The direct light of Ab goes through Chazev Galgalta?
Through Chazev Galgalta, yes. Galgalta makes special partsufim to pass the lights of Ein Sof to Ab.
Maybe it's related, but at that same point, more or less, of Pevab, you're saying that it spreads from below upward, Oshavab. Why does it go from below upward?
Because each Rosh is this way, from below upwards.
It's the reflected light that reveals it?
Yes.
This reflected light later comes into Galgalta?
No, there is no such thing. It closes on Galgalta. From the Chazet to Peh.
Why doesn't it cross the Peh or come stop before the Peh?
This is where its root is. It cannot be higher than its root.
Why doesn't it stop before the Peh? What does it do in the Peh of Galgalta?
Because Peh of Galgalta is the root of Ab, which is why Ab spreads to Galgalta and downwards. But the Rosh of Ab spreads from the Chazeh of Galgalta to Peh.
Again.
Yes, you.
If Ab receives its direct light, it gets it from Galgalta, what light passes between Ab, from Ab to Galgalta? Through what channel of communication does it move on to the upper one?
When Ab and Galgalta,
through Ab and Galgalta, we have a direct contact. Because one is born from the other. So from Galgalta the light passes to Ab, and from Ab, and Ab rises its Rishimo, and its Masachim to Galgalta.
I didn't understand what goes up to Galgalta.
A screen with a Rishimo.
The screen itself?
How do the screens rise from the lower parts of Fim to Ein Sof? This is how they rise from Partsuf to Partsuf and Partsuf to Partsuf until they come to Ein Sof. And then they are in Zivug Daka of Ein Sof. And in Ein Sof, it already shows up as mud.
So from above downwards, light comes, and from below upwards, the Masach?
The Rishimot.
The light that comes down from the upper Patsuf to the lower one, is the same light clean from Ein Sof, or do the upper ones do something to the light?
Again?
When Sag receives light from Ab, is this pure light from Ein Sof, or did Galgalta
Of course not. How can this be? It goes through all of the parts of him, and all of the parts of him receive it and do zivuk of striking, coupling by striking on it, and pass it lower. It cannot be that you receive the light of Ein Sof, that you are on a certain degree there in the middle of the road.
And what does it give, all these actions the upper did over this light? What does the lower one get from it?
That all are enriched by it. Everyone passes these lights and receive them in order to bestow each in his place.
But does it change the light itself that the lower one gets?
Certainly, the manifests in the new kelim.
So it's not clothed. The question is basically this: in Galgalta, there was a zivug over the entire potsuf, including the hideak.
Including?
Nehid Avak. Including Netzachot Yesod. The entire Zivu Galgalta.
I don't understand what you're saying, but let's say.
Okay, so I'll ask the whole question. In Galgalta, there was a Zivug over the entire Patsuf, so why do we need again that Sag will come down to Nehi Avak? What's the purpose of the second restriction, basically? That going down again in order to scrutinize Palsa, but it already had a Zivug over the entire Patsuf, so I don't understand. Why wasn't the scrutiny done in the first coupling?
The Zivug, the coupling that was in Galgalta, was in Roshimo 4.
Besak Gimel Bet.
In Av was Dalet Gimel 4-3, in Sag was 3-2. All of these couplings were couplings belonging to the Partsuf, a single Partsuf called Adam Kadmon.
So it already had in the highest screen possible, the coarseness from the level 4, the highest one, it had a coupling there. So why, what else is there beyond it?
What else is beyond it? The purpose of creation is to reveal all of the actions and relations between the Creator and the creature, and the Creator being. So, him making one big zivug on everything doesn't mean he clarified anything. Precisely the lower partsuf that is making the last drop in order to bestow, it is important that he completes the entire process.
Even though, with respect to the cascading, the greatest coarseness is in Galgalta.
You can say that it's in Galgalta, or you can say that the last partsuf that awakens man, he will give Chadera 1 to say something.
Rav, good morning. I'd like to ask a question from our 10. We in the Chadera group are going to come physically to the Congress in Shavuot, and we feel it's going to be an amazing event. We don't want to miss it. Our question is, how should we, and how can we help all the groups of Israel be with our enthusiasm?
Try. You have means of communication, you have time, you have devices, people. Go ahead. We are also expecting you to shake us up. And this way we'll rise up to